Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey, this is Judy. Thank you so much for listening. Today we have a really cool conversation with Jillian Forte, and Jillian is the executive chef at Sarah's Table, or Chester Creek Cafe, however you know it. I visited her at the restaurant, and that's why you will hear some background and kitcheny type noises going on. Whether you love their food and all the things they've got going on there, or it's a place you haven't explored yet, or maybe you're coming from out of town and you're looking for a great place in Duluth to eat. We talk a lot about the food, of course, and a brand new menu that they have going on right now. We definitely dive into the food allergies, food sensitivities, what they offer on their menu, how they work behind the scenes, all that fun stuff. So check it out. A lot of information, not only about the food, but their sustainability, about the bar that's connected, the wine bar right next door that I still have to explore very soon, very soon. I've been having this serious mimosa craving lately that I have no idea what it's about. But anyway, it's a good place to get a good mimosa. I do know that. I've only had it in the restaurant, but you can get it in the bar as well. It is a really nice restaurant. It's a nice atmosphere. They have tall booths. They also have tables, and they have an area in the back that is called the library. And it's a nice space that you can reserve for larger parties and feels very homey. And if you just like to be surrounded by a bunch of books, it's a beautiful place to be. I think the books are also for sale. I don't want to say that 100% for sure, but if you like that, I'm right about that. And I apologize if I'm wrong about that. So go forth and listen, and I'll have a few nuggets at the end after the interview for you. I'm here with Jillian Forte, and thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, of course.
Tell me your role here at Sarah's Table, and well, let's start there.
Yeah, I am the head chef and the general manager. I've worked here for, I think, 13 years. It's
wow.
Easy to lose track at this point. Yeah, and I've done a whole bunch of stuff here. Okay.
So in your role, are you the one who creates the menus and all of that?
Yes, I do. So we actually have a new menu coming out today, and we've been working on it for months. And I bring my whole team in, and we decide what we want to make and divvy it up to everybody. So like a bunch of my team members have opportunities to be creative and contribute to the whole process.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I think that's, and we'll talk more about this in the future, but I think what's really cool about that, because I mean, when you're talking the whole team, is it the kitchen team? Is it the servers and all of?
Well, okay. So I have a bunch of servers that have soup food sensitivities.
Okay.
So they're always saying to me, oh, Jillian, I want a new vegan special. Is this going to be gluten-free? And all these kinds of things. So they don't necessarily help with the actual menu, but they do help shape how we think about what to create.
Right.
So most of the menu items are from my senior staff in the kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome, because I'm just thinking about, you know, having the server's input, which makes a lot of sense because they're the ones talking to the public, the people who are coming to eat. So that's fantastic. Tell me about the name. Sarah's Table, Chester Creek Cafe. I feel like there might have even been another one somewhere.
Yes, there was Terrence Market.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes. So all of those names still tend to be used.
Yes. So at Sarah's Table was Barb's original restaurant down in Canal Park. It was just a little tiny bookstore, coffee shop, bakery kind of thing.
Nice.
She met Carla, and they decided to buy the historic building of Terrence Market and make this bigger thing. Carla, I think, wanted to call it Chester Creek Cafe, so they decided to compromise and keep both names. And then the original plan was that the building itself would be more of a marketplace, that there would be other businesses in here, like maybe a bike shop in the basement, an architectural firm upstairs.
Oh, wow.
So that was the original plan, was to keep it a market, but the restaurant grew way quicker than they thought, and we filled up the space ourselves.
Nice.
Yes. And we actually just recently got new signs on the building. So the Terrence Marketplace came down from the front of the building and announced us at Sarah's Table, Chester Creek Cafe, on both the front and back.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
And where did Sarah's Table come into play?
I think that Barb just thought that it was a nice sounding name.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so brought the old name up here and kept him.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's always, the Duluthians tend to, you know, we interchange all of the names, and mostly Chester Creek and Cafe and at Sarah's Table, so it's just kind of
It's funny. I tell people, I'm like, yes, I work at Chester Creek Cafe. Oh, I don't know where that is.
Right.
And then I say, at Sarah's Table? Oh, yeah, I love that place.
Yep, exactly. Well, you guys are, I deal with the food sensitive community. I mean, that's part of what I do. And so I talk to people about food and people with particular diets or who are just trying to be healthy. And you guys are like at the top of the list when there's any suggestion of where do we go for either good stuff or a place that's going to take care of me, my kid. And so I commend you guys for that. These people have such great experiences here, and it's so good. And I know some folks who are just like uber sensitive and uber allergic, and they've been okay. So great. Yay. Good job, guys.
Yes. Way to go, team.
Yes. So tell me, let's start with the food that you serve in general, because you guys are pretty thoughtful and about kind of community and local and where you're sourcing your food.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
I guess the easiest thing to talk about how is we just created our new menu, and so we are always thinking about what's in season, first of all. So I'm in January and February, I'm thinking, okay, what kind of vegetables and produce am I going to have available to me in May, June, July, August? I'm thinking seasonally because I'm also thinking, what are my farmers going to be able to give me first? We also have a garden kitty corner across the street from the restaurant. And so I sit down with my gardener at the beginning of the year and we decide what we want to grow. So I'm kind of building my menu around what is grown here in our local neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I think when I think about local, I know the technical rule is 300 miles. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it's a lot closer.
Okay.
I'd prefer that my farmers can make the deliveries themselves.
Oh, nice.
You know, so that it's not so far away that they're like having to use a distributor or something like that. And I get to know them face to face then too, if I'm actually getting my deliveries from them. So that tends to keep the local circle smaller. I would say we're probably within 50 to 70 miles is where we get most of our local stuff. When it comes to the big protein, so the meats and the dairies and things like that, that circle does get wider because there aren't a whole lot of cattle farms near Duluth. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of eggs coming from the local area. Not in the quantities that we need,
right.
I should clarify.
Right.
We go through quite a few eggs here, and all our eggs are organic. The meats are... Our small farmers are the people that I usually get them from. I actually just went through and called all of my meat farmers and asked them a bunch of questions like, is this sustainable? And they said, well, what do you define as sustainable? And I said, okay, do you grow the grain that you feed them? And they say, yes. I put them out on the pasture. I put certain grasses down that I know that they're gonna like to eat. So they're being really thoughtful about it. I did just find out that cows actually like corn. I always thought finishing with corn was like this weird thing that you did for the flavor, but turns out they like it, just like people. So it's sweet. And
sure.
So sometimes some of my farmers will have to get their corn that they sprinkle in their food from farther away. So it was a really good introduction and conversation that I had with all of those guys fairly recently.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're all pasture-raised. I would say they're on the sustainable route. It's hard to say. You know, there's no certification for sustainable.
Right. So you're right. It is about knowing the farmer, knowing their mindset about what they're doing and how they're...
And their practices and exactly all that kind of stuff. So I was very impressed with all of my guys, my Weicker Acres and Peterson. And it was really, really nice to have that conversation. Milk, we switched to organic milk, so Organic Valley, so that's just in like the Winona, Viroqua area.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really nice too.
If you haven't been to Sarah's Table, yes, you guys have an amazing breakfast menu with delightful omelets.
They are really good.
Chester Creek omelets, my favorite. But you guys also do like really great coffee and teas, and you're thoughtful about that as well.
Yes. We use B&W coffee, and we have Anahata local teas, and yeah, the organic milk and all of the drinks out there. Lots of different choices besides dairy. We just got a new one, oat milk.
Oh, yes!
Which is really cool. It's really delicious. It foams really nicely.
Oh, man. Yeah. I wish I would have known that. I should have looked at the menu this morning before I ordered my drink. It is amazing. It is... And that in a latte, mm-hmm. it's so rich and full.
Yeah. Yeah, because we were using soy, but then a lot of people are saying too much soy isn't so great. And so we still offer soy, but I noticed that it moves a lot slower. Oh. And then we were offering almond milk too, which we still do, but then there's over farming problems with almonds. So yes. That slowed down too. Oh. So the oat milk, I think, is the new popular choice, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I just remembered that we're doing is we went strawless at the cafe.
Oh!
Yes. So we were all kind of watching the videos of straws and plastic pollution all over. And we don't have a lot of plastic in the restaurant other than cling wrap that we use on the food, except for the straws. So we decided that we would... just get rid of straws and see how the customers reacted. We do have compostable straws, but it turns out they're only compostable in a commercial composting.
Okay.
Which is what we have, but if someone were to take that home, it might not make it to the compost.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious. You guys don't still do the composting.
We do.
You do, yes. So people can still bring their compost. I used to do that all the time and got out of the habit, and I wasn't sure if you guys still had it.
Yep, we do.
So tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah. So as a customer, you can come to the front desk and we'll give you these biodegradable plastic bags that WLSSD provides us with. And then bring them home, fill them up, and then come back to the cafe and drop them in the compost bucket there. And WLSSD picks it up and brings it down to their compost site, sells it back to us.
That's awesome. I mean, what a great way. When I was really doing it, I was living in an apartment kind of type mm-hmm. thing, and where you can't do composting.
No.
But it's so nice to be able to have a place for those waste scraps to go and feel like they're doing something good for the world.
Yes. I love having a compost buckets at the cafe. There are compost buckets everywhere in the kitchen. And to me, I've had this thought like years ago, like peeling a carrot and, oh, I feel bad. This carrot tried so hard to get eaten and now it's not getting eaten. Oh no. But it's okay. It's going in the compost and it'll have another chance at making it to the vegetable plate again, you know?
I love
which
it.
Which is such a silly thought, but it makes me feel bad, you know?
Right.
You know, that the food's not going to waste.
Right. It is. It's interesting what kind of hits us. I lived in India for 6 months.
Nice.
And coming back from that, it was seeing how, well, it was the mindset about just not wasting, because we lived in a place where the people who cleaned our apartments would take any food they could possibly get. So we treated the refuse refuse of our food differently, because it was like, okay, I remember throwing some meat away and I was like, this is such bad meat that I was trying to figure out how to wrap it up to the point that nobody would ever find it, because of, I don't want anybody to eat this. But it was like, oh, I'm not gonna get to those leftovers, so I'll leave them out now so that they can still eat them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it was just in seeing what they would pick up from scraps, it's like you think about that differently. So it's I'm glad to know that you still have that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about just kind of the sustainability piece, which is great. And we touched on the food allergies and serving your people who come in with food allergies, food sensitivities, and maybe even just paying attention to their health.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little bit in kind of your transparency with working with your customers and how you work in the kitchen and what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm. So after I got my allergy training with you, I went back and I created a PowerPoint presentation that I give to every staff member on how to treat allergies. So it's a lot of education about the big eight allergens and that versus celiacs and food sensitivities. We talk about how celiacs destroys the microphylia in the intestinal tract, and I make it very clear to people on my staff that this is damage. So if you are feeding somebody this, you are damaging somebody's intestinal structure so that they get how important it is. And so they know right away, like, okay, I need to take this seriously. We even have a discussion about how to administer an EpiPen, hopefully will never happen.
Right.
But we have that discussion about how to do that. And so the way that we do it is when a customer comes in, hopefully they will tell us about their food sensitivities. We have little cards that the servers can give to the guest, and they can fill it out with different sensitivities that they have or allergies. They can highlight it or circle it or whatever, and that goes back to the kitchen with the food ticket. The line cook knows then, okay, I have a food sensitivity. New cutting boards, new knives, gloves, new utensils. If they can't handle it because it's too busy, which happens a lot around here, they come in the back and they get a manager, and the manager will come up and make that food specifically, and then that ticket will go back out. So that's on the customer side. On the back end of it, every time I make a menu, like I'm making right now, we fill out these little forms, and I have every menu item, I say I need to have the allergy information. So you need to comb through every single ingredient list on your dish. So there's one dish, we have a bibimbap right now, and there's one sauce on it, the Korean barbecue sauce. It has a gochujang in it, and it has a little bit of wheat flour in it. And so that dish is available gluten-free on request without the sauce. And so my staff has to know that.
Right.
So they all get an education when the new menu comes out. And then when I have time, I'll go through and write basically every single ingredient on every single dish in a booklet that's available in the server station. Sometimes that's too much for the servers. So I also created a cheat sheet for them that has the big allergens, a lot of the different food sensitivities. People say they don't want garlic, it gives them stomach aches, or they want no refined sugar, or different things like that. So this one it's basically two columns with the food item and the different food requests that we get at the top, and then it has an X. Nice. If it has it. So that's like a quick review thing that people have. So that's something that we could just give to the customer so they don't have to keep asking back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
So like, here, why don't you just take this? This might help you make your decision.
Yeah. And then it's so great because it's like there's the customer responsibility to disclose, and there's also sometimes challenge, you know, the people who have a lot of different sensitivities, and when you can hand them a book like that, it's just like, okay, this takes the pressure off of asking the server, and the person could just spend their time with it.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's better.
It's good. I think having that available is so great, and I encourage anybody with food allergies and sensitivities, ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
Because you guys do label your menus, and so let me ask you this. So if an item has gluten-free on it, for instance, that doesn't always necessarily mean it as is gluten-free. It might mean you just need to say, I need the gluten-free version of this.
No. So nope? it would say gluten-free if it comes naturally gluten-free.
Okay.
It would say gluten-free request.
Got it.
And then you have to say, I want this gluten-free.
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's the same with a vegetarian or vegan. So it will say veg or vegetarian request. V for vegan or vegan request. The menu can get complicated to read once you start digging into those layers.
Right.
You know, we also have organic, pasture-raised, sustainable.
That you mark on your menu.
That's on the menu also.
Yeah,
so,
which is great.
You know, you can do a cursory look at the menu and just say, yeah, I want the biscuits and gravy. Or you can say, okay, I only want the vegan and gluten-free items. Now you got to pull out the glasses.
Yeah.
You know, start looking a little closer.
Right. But it's great because you can not participate in that world, or you can as deeply as you want to go with you guys, which
exactly,
is fantastic.
Exactly.
I love it. What about just MSG is something that's coming up more frequently for people as a sensitivity? Where do you guys work with that?
I have not labeled MSG, partially because I have not seen it in the kitchen.
Okay.
Really. I'm sure that there are probably one or two sauces that have it, but because most of our stuff is made from scratch, there isn't a whole lot of pre-made sauces.
Okay.
You know, like maybe it's in the fish sauce. Yeah, I can't think of that many places.
Okay, so it's not something that some places are, we'll do MSG free if you ask. I figured that was the case with you guys.
Yeah.
But So what about when it comes to food sensitivities and allergies, the big allergies especially, and again, I want to reiterate that if somebody's got a different allergy, you guys are aware of what's in your food and you have access to that information. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
You know, come down, check it out. What about things like peanut oil or things mm-hmm. like that you either have or have removed?
Yeah. For me, I think the nut allergies are the scariest because the reactions can be so strong and so fast. Mm-hmm. And people who have those allergies know that.
Yes.
I've also trained my staff to say, if you don't know, you need to say, I don't know.
Wonderful.
Like, I am not 100%. I'm 95% sure that this does not have nuts in it, but I am not 100%. So I make sure that the staff says that, you know. There is peanut oil in our fryer. It's the cleanest and best oil. So we use that. It also gets turned into biodiesel at the end of its life.
Nice.
So I tell people that there is peanut oil. They say the allergens are taken out, but if, you know, I don't want to say that that's safe. And so we have that labeled on the menu.
Oh, great. Yes.
Anything that's in the fryer, which is really only French fries and tortilla chips.
Okay.
But we don't fry a whole lot of things in the fryer.
Right, okay.
So it's just those two items.
So it's a gluten, it would be a gluten-free fryer.
It is, it's a gluten-free, dairy-free fryer.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's vegetarian too, and vegan,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
No dairy, yeah.
It is really great that you train with the EpiPens, and because that is, you know, in a restaurant or in any situation, just knowing, even having an understanding of what the symptoms are,
mm-hmm.
is really helpful. And I mean, it's rare. Yes, it's rare that people go into anaphylactic shock, but it's like 20% of people discover their allergy outside the home for the first time.
Yeah.
And if they're in your restaurant and they don't know what's happening,
yeah.
and you've got a server who could say, I think you're having an allergic reaction, mm-hmm. that could be huge
yeah.
for somebody who doesn't maybe even have an EpiPen, but them just noticing it being able to call
yes.
for an ambulance or for some,
exactly.
You know.
And that's what I train people. I say, if it looks like someone's having a reaction, ask them. Like, are you having a reaction? I don't know. Just call 911. I was like, you can get them the address, you know, like it can save a few minutes and that could
and
be really important.
And that's huge for, yeah, when you yeah. think of, like you say, how severe peanut allergies can be,
yeah.
how quickly an allergy can go from 0 to 60.
Yeah.
Is crazy. Vegetarian, you talked about vegetarians. So do you have a typical focus? You know, do you like make sure you have multiple like vegetarian or vegan dishes?
Yes. So we always make sure that there is at least one fully satisfying vegan option on each menu. And by fully satisfying, I mean that it's going to have protein, it's going to have veg, it's going to have everything that they need to have a complete satisfying meal. And then a lot of the other ones, it's like there's options. So the salad has cheese on it, but we can just take the cheese off. Last menu, we were making a vegan cheese, so we could have subbed the vegan cheese in at any time. For anything that had it. Yeah, so I have this, like, this is one I'm excited about. We have a beef bulgogi taco. It's one of my favorite things. And we just made a vegan version of it, which I'm super excited about. And it's possible to be gluten-free. So I have some servers that are giddy about it.
You know, and that's another thing, too, is your servers really... They know the menu, they know mm-hmm. the food, they've eaten the food, and they're excited about the food.
Yeah.
So it is fun to kind of come and ask questions because you get really good feedback.
Yeah.
Which is really great. And it feels like it's honest feedback from them too,
mm-hmm.
which is fun.
That is
so
good.
I love that.
Yeah, I had one of my servers look at my new menu the other day and she said, she just went through it with a fine tooth comb and she said, okay, now this one, can it be gluten-free? Why is this not gluten-free? Okay, it's because of this. Okay, and wanna know what about this dish and how would I make this vegetarian? And,
oh, well, bless her
yeah,
heart.
I know. They're very good.
Very invested in their
uh-huh.
in their career here,
yes.
which is great.
Yep.
I love it. And customers love it too, clearly. And I've been in here with people who have had really intensive sensitivities. Could I just possibly get some mixed vegetables or whatever? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, no problem. You
yeah.
know. So I love that. Okay. Any other menu items, any other things in your menu that you want to highlight and talk
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I think the other one that I'm excited about is a vegan, gluten-free Japanese pancake called okonomiyaki. It's like a savory pancake. I'm using the word loosely. That's how they describe it. It's like a whole bunch of different vegetables bound together with oat flour and tofu and garbanzo bean flour. And then a vegan aioli on top, our real kimchi. Yeah.
It's sounds good.
I know. I'm excited about it, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's funny that I'm, like, the most excited about these vegan, gluten-free items. I'm really impressed because we've been having a vegan night on Monday nights. So we have been practicing and trying a whole bunch of different vegan things, options for our customers. So I'm pretty proud of the like flavor forward vegan gluten-free stuff that we have.
So what that tells me from my experience in the food world is that just makes you a really good chef. I was at a food conference and this guy made this really interesting point. If I remember right, he was like the main chef at one of the big companies in the cities, then big campus. And he said, I love making my menus and making them as simple as possible to start with so everybody can eat them. And then I add to them and I get to create this amazing stuff. It's just not that hard to do to serve people with food sensitivities. He's going on and he says, there's a difference between a cook and a chef. And he says, a cook puts the food together and that's fine, but I'm a chef and it's about being creative and it's about making people happy and it's about serving them good food. And that's what I love to do. Nice. And I thought, that is so interesting. You know, some people take on some of the food creativity as a challenge, and other people are like, oh gosh, you know. A friend of mine, first of my aunt over at her house, she took on the whole gluten-free thing as, huh, well, what can I do with this? What can I make? Oh my gosh, she can make you a feast of amazing food. But it's her attitude of this is fun for her. And if it's fun for you,
it shows.
It's beautiful. Yes, it does. Uh-huh. And that's where you get your creative menu, because you are taking it on a little more as a fun challenge, you know, and a tasty one. Good stuff.
It's always got to taste good.
That's awesome. I love it. And you guys have desserts. You have gluten-free options. Do you have dairy-free options for desserts, too?
Yes, we have vegan and gluten-free options. Okay. So cupcakes and cookies and pies. I know the pies are gluten-free. I'm pretty sure they're dairy-free. There's that program in the bakery has just grown and grown over the last couple of years to include a whole bunch.
And do you make them here?
We do.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And that menu kind of change. I mean, every day is sometimes a little bit different as to what you guys offer.
Yeah. So we always have rougelash, which is glutinous. And then we have different muffins. There's always at least one gluten-free muffin. There's cupcakes and German chocolate ones and pies and
all kinds of yummy things. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you want to share, be it about the food or about maybe how you run the restaurant or any of just of those details that we might find intriguing to know about you guys?
Let's see. I think that for me, one of my philosophies is that you need to care about what you're doing. And I care a lot about how I make the food, where it comes from, what is going into each dish, into each prepped item, into each plate that goes out. And I really try to get the staff to care too. And I think that's where you can see the difference between us and other restaurants. The staff in the kitchen and the front of the house care. So if a customer has a certain need or a certain desire of food, we work really, really hard to get that to them. And we work really hard to put quality food on the plates. You know, I was just telling my staff at our recent staff meeting that I want quality and I want consistency. Quality is really, really what I'm looking for in every single dish that goes out. I said, I would rather have you 86 a dish than put out something that's not good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that shows in everything that we do.
Right.
Yeah.
And you, I want to mention this too, because you talked about a new menu. So how often do you change your menus?
I do a big change every 6 months.
Okay.
So that's 15, 16 new items. We reprint the physical menu every 6 weeks, which gives me an opportunity to change the vegetables from asparagus to peas, from peas to broccoli, from broccoli to Brussels sprouts. So that allows a fair amount of flexibility to say, oh, this isn't working, or, oh, we mislabeled this thing. Somebody one time caught that we had the crepes listed as gluten-free request. We can't do that. We didn't have that option, so we were able to go through and correct that mistake, which is really, really nice. Yeah. So every 6 weeks, it kind of gets a
little bit of an
upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I just want to mention, too, that you guys do catering, and you work with folks on catering and what they need and mm-hmm. all of that. And also you have, where we are sitting right now, you have a room available that people can rent. So if you have a business group or a family thing or a party, there's a really great room in the basement.
Yeah, nice and quiet.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Yeah, and I'm excited because we're opening the deck pretty soon, so we get to finally sit outside. And
will we ever get to sit outside?
I know.
Have a nice day here. It's 80 degrees. Oh, ha, ha. We're going to make it 40 again.
Yeah. It's going to rain now.
Yes, it is a really nice deck area.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a great bar with a bunch of cocktails that we're making and a really varied wine selection.
So that's, so tell me, because I've honestly never been over there.
That happens,
and it's ridiculous.
A lot. Yeah. It's this really sweet space. Like this, the bar is like warm and cozy and comfortable. The bar itself is made out of old wine barrels.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it has this beautiful red tin to it, and like there's service industry night on Sunday night, so all the staff gets to come and all of the other restaurant workers come on Sunday night. Yeah, so we have a really wonderful bar that's nice and cozy, and we have these different nights. So there's the service industry night, there's half price wine night on Wednesdays, a bunch of different cocktails that we make in-house. Oh, everybody knows about the Bloody Marys and mimosas on the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's like the best thing, I think, on a brunch when you're like, when we tell someone there's a 45-minute wait, but don't worry, you can have a Bloody Mary or a mimosa right next door. And they go, yes.
Right. So if you're coming to Sarah's Table, if you walk to the right when you walk in the door, you'll walk into the main restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you walk to the left, it's the bar, right?
Yeah.
I need to go examine the bar.
Yeah.
I cannot believe I haven't been.
It's so sweet. I think it's such a great place to go and have a glass of wine with your girlfriends or something.
Oh, yeah. How late is it open at night?
Till the restaurant closes.
Okay.
So like 9:30-ish. Okay. You know, in the summer, it's different.
Right.
And on weekends, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we've covered the gamut.
Cool.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you.
Yeah,
this is really fun. It's excited to learn just more in depth about what you do and how much you guys care. And for anybody who lives in Duluth and isn't aware or coming from out of town, there are still Duluthians who haven't been here yet.
Yeah, so. Isn't that silly? I'm just like, really? But we're such a great place.
I know, right? So come on down, check it out. And yeah, and if you've got again, you guys are just really great with food needs of any sort and mm-hmm. answering questions. And that's just a really big deal for people who are struggling and new and not feeling insecure about it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Come on in, ask any question that you have. We'll do our absolute best to get you the best food that you need.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming.
I want to share a couple things before we head on out. First of all, and I just learned this when I did the interview, that the gluten-free bread that they serve with the meals, you can actually buy in loaves. And I didn't know that. Another thing I wanted to mention, Jillian brought this up in the discussion, which led us to a whole different discussion, which led me to getting a hold of MenuTrinfo, the people that trained me for my food allergy safety training that I do. Peanut oil. So if you have peanut allergies, you perhaps are really, really well aware of this, but this is something that I have not been at least this solidly aware of, and with all the training that I've had, etc. So I just wanted to share it because it's kind of one of those things that's really interesting and slightly confusing. I think this is just really good to share because it may clear some things up, or if it creates more confusion, there's an easy answer to solving it. So what I learned was that highly refined peanut and soy oil don't actually even have to have allergen labeling on them. They are exempt from the allergen labeling because all of the allergens have been taken out of the refined oil. So what that also means then is unrefined oil or the gourmet oils. They are not as refined. Therefore, they, I assume, should have labeling on them. And they then would have the allergens in them. So therefore, not safe to eat if you have a peanut or soy allergy. Fair suggests that even though the refined oil doesn't need to be labeled, that you should probably ask your doctor. Apparently, studies say that most people can do just fine with refined oil. It's always an interesting thing when we say most people, because I always wonder where are the outliers that can't do well? Are they really, really outliers? Was it a questionable situation? What's going on there? But that's what they say. So I'm just telling you, I'm the messenger here. I've been in enough conversations with people with food allergies that I can imagine some of the stern words you are having with your listening device right now. The most people with phrase tends to set some people on edge. So therefore, if this is new information to you, and I'm sincerely not trying to freak anybody out, I am just passing along information that may be beneficial to folks. If you have eaten fries or any particular fried food at a restaurant over time, maybe you can ask them, hey, what kind of oil are you frying that in? If you haven't already and then avoided it, but if you haven't and you've eaten it and you've been fine, then maybe you can do okay with that kind of oil. So again, not trying to create confusion here, but just trying to share some information that might be enlightening or interesting. And I would totally welcome you to chime in and share your experiences related to this. On the podcast page, there's an opportunity to reply below the episode. So feel absolutely free to do that. I find some of the nitty-gritty stuff really interesting. For instance, the highly processed oils are actually exempt from the allergen labeling regulations from 2004. And then it's interesting that, for instance, gin, which is made from gluten-containing cereal grains, the final distilled product doesn't contain gluten. And I know we're talking the difference between gluten and peanuts, but it's the same kind of, it's a similar kind of concept here. So the gin doesn't actually contain gluten, but it can't be advertised or labeled as gluten-free. So some people opt out. I know many people that opt out of that with celiac disease, for instance, but I know that other people find that they're okay with it. So it's just a fascinating thing, and it probably just leads to me needing to learn a little bit more about the details of distilling and understand why that not be the case. Is it just a legal thing? Is it an actual process thing? Fun stuff. Thank you so very much for listening. You can check out the rest of the podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can sign up right there for an email when the new episode comes out. We just shoot you a really quick message, let you know what it is, what it's about, and gives you a link to just pop right over to listen to it super easy. While you're there, if you feel the bug to go Amazon shopping, click the link that says support the podcast. Go to Amazon through one of those links, and anything that you purchase in that shopping trip, a little sliver of it will go to support the podcast. So that's not an additional tacked-on fee. That is just part of your purchase. Check us out on iTunes, Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Subscribe. Feel free to leave a review. That would make us delightfully happy. Search us out on Facebook if you do the Facebook thing. Otherwise, share the podcast with your friends, anybody who might be interested, anybody who's coming to visit Duluth and happens to eat food. They are a great person to share this with. Thanks again for listening. Take good care, and here is to you finding the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Till next time.